In this episode of Movie Wallace, we review Divergent and Bad Words. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Good evening all.
Hello.
Hello.
You can tell it's recording time. We have the cat here.
Yes.
But worse, we have the frog that won't shut up.
There is a frog?
Can you hear the frog? There is a frog.
There is this bullfrog.
And I just heard it a second ago.
And there is a giraffe, right?
And this frog, I kid you not, it goes crazy at night.
Oh, can you hear it? Yeah.
I should do a recording and try and insert it into the podcast because
you don't need to. It's making noise right now.
We might just pick it up.
Where does it live in your plants?
It lives in the garden somewhere.
So there's a little bit of kind
a
of
pond.
Yeah, it's kind of a little. It's a 6 foot, maybe like a 12 foot green belt between us and the main road that's behind our house. And yeah, there's a pond in there, and this damn thing lives there.
But maybe it's more than one.
Like,
maybe
I thought they're supposed to not live for that long, but it's been gribbiting.
Well, how do you know? What's the lifespan of a frog?
I don't know. This shouldn't be that long, should it? There's no, like, you know, old grand frog.
Yeah, he's been going for a good couple of weeks.
He's been going for a couple of weeks.
Maybe he's only got a week left. This is his last week on Earth.
Froggy, yes.
You don't care. Rashmi doesn't care.
It keeps me up.
Frog legs taste great.
I fall asleep to that noise.
Well, I think every now and then he does get some, right? Because it's a mating call, right?
I have no idea.
Well, then it speeds up.
I think gribbit's like a mating call.
Oh.
Well, no, I think he's not gribbiting while he's mating.
Well, he needs to do some more then.
No. Because every now and then he shuts up.
Yeah, he's shut up now.
Froggy score.
Oh, God. Speaking of croaking.
Segway.
No, that's my job normally, segue. Good.
Yes.
Good,
let's Yazdi. Talk about bad words.
Let's talk about bad words. I have many for the frog.
Evidently. So, Bad Words is the directorial debut of Jason Bateman of Arrested Development and many other movies fame. I read an interview with him where he really said that the only reason he ever got into acting at all was because he wanted to direct, and he's finally been given the opportunity, albeit on a fairly small production. It's a movie that stars him primarily as the most famous person in the movie, but it also has any other stars in
it? The lovely Catherine Hahn's in this. I really like her.
Yes. Oh, yes. So Catherine Hahn, Alison Janney, and then a few other names that I'm not too familiar with. Rohan Chand.
Who's the little kid?
Rachel Harris, Ben Falcone, and others. The movie is essentially about a 40-year-old guy who finds a little loophole in the Golden Quill National Spelling Bee contest, and he decides that he's going to go into it and cause problems by hijacking the competition. Contest officials, outraged parents, and overly ambitious 8th graders are no match for Guy as he ruthlessly crushes the dreams of their victory and fame. As a reporter, Catherine Hahn of Were the Millers attempts to discover his true motivation. So this movie we all saw, right?
Yes.
And a while ago.
It has been a while, yeah. They had the press machine out on this one fairly early, unlike a lot of movies that we get to see. The press screening for this was several weeks ahead of its debut.
And Yazdi and I went to the Bad Words party at South by Southwest too.
So I think Bad Words is the most auspicious start to Jason Bateman's career as a film director. And if I may reach a little, I can say the film is actually pretty close to being brilliant. I have much admiration for the many things this film does, and even more so all of the things that this film chooses not to do. I liked it a lot.
I agree with Yazdi. I think it's one of those films that you almost think is just going to be outright funny, but it's inappropriate in a really edgy way. But it has this heart and cuteness to it. And I think it's a rather simple story that's actually very well executed. And I think a really good directing debut from Jason Bateman. I agree with you, Yazdi. More than anything, though, I think that Jason Bateman generally is really underrated. Mm-hmm. And I really liked him in this role. I mean, here's where we see another side of Jason Bateman. We saw another side of him in Disconnect last year. We mm-hmm. all love Disconnect. And here we see even another side of him. So I really enjoyed this movie.
And I mean, I didn't love this film, but I admired it in a kind of odd way. It's annoying, actually, because I'm looking on the Rotten Tomatoes page and there's a reviewer here who's used the exact word that I was going to use, which is, you know, Bad Santa Goes to the Spelling Bee. I mean, it had that same kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
You know, there's kind of a dark humor that runs throughout this movie. Clearly, as a director, he is very competent here. I mean, he had to focus not only on his performance, but on directing the movie. And I think he did a kind of a reasonable job. There are a couple of areas where I did feel kind of very first-time director for me. Oh. You know, just a couple of things that were a little too precious, a little too set up, you know, a little kind of, you know, look, I can direct kind of thing. But
kind of slowdowns and things,
yeah,
slow motion, but for the most, that sort of thing.
You know, that was only evident because I knew that it was somebody's first shot at directing.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm honest, I found the little sidekick kid a little bit annoying, but he was just on the right side of cute, I think, that got us through those parts. I mean, the funniest parts for me and the bits that I was laughing out loud was the great interaction between Jason Bateman when he's psyching out the kids, when he's actually on the stage when the competition is ongoing. So there's a ton of these sequences where he really psychs out the kids who are his competition. And I literally wanted to pee my pants because some of those sequences were just hilarious. And I just kept thinking, I wonder if the kids knew what he was actually going to say, because it was so well acted by the kids as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I really like about the movie is how, you know, it completely embraces, you know, how bad this lead character is. And it kind of, you know, it bluntly refuses to make him at any point particularly likable.
Mm-hmm.
You may disagree, but I think, you know, yeah, at least through the first,
I agree,
you know, two-thirds
yeah
of the movie, I mean, he's a wretched, wretched person. And I think, you know, it's hard that, you know, if you grow to sympathize with this person, it's in spite of his bad behavior and not because of, right, not because of anything you've seen. Now, I grew to like it. And I think people are so scared these days of, you know, how movies will play out and how they're marketed and kids won't come to see it. But this is a good, nice, hard-rated R movie. I mean,
yeah,
the language here is really strong.
Yeah.
Really strong. Even some of the content is pretty strong.
It's so inappropriate.
It's very most of the movie is very inappropriate. And I kind of liked it for that. Nobody's making
yes
a good R-rated movie these days.
And I like that the inappropriateness is with the child.
Right.
I mean, the child is in some really inappropriate situations.
I mean, it's certainly a bold movie, the likes of which we don't see very often these days, which is it sets out to, and that's kind of why it reminded me of Bad Santa, because you have this kind of tone to it that you know that it's going to be inappropriate, but it's brave enough to be that way, right? There's mm-hmm they're not
it sticks to its guns.
It's
it totally does
toning down
right
at all to meet any kind of politically correct focus group opinion. It's daring to be what it is, which is, you know, a movie for adults.
And he does say a lot of politically incorrect stuff through the movie,
which I admire. I think that kind of stuff, if it's done in the right way, if it's done in the name of comedy, which clearly here it is, then I think that's a really nice thing to observe when it's done well, as much as that's kind of strange to say.
Like this, you know, We Are the Millers came out last year, and it was kind of going for the same theme, but it kind of wanted to, you know, have its cake and eat it too. So it was kind of being rude and raunchy, but at the same time, it also wanted you to kind of, you know, like these characters, and it was trying too hard to make you like them. And I think this movie is a little edgier, darker than that movie,
yeah,
at least with its tone.
Yeah, and I remember you saying that about Where the Millers, yes, yeah, we didn't see
oh,
that
okay
one. I actually like Catherine Hahn in this one. She's unbelievably funny, and I think for me she stole the show. Now, the interesting thing is I did the audience with Jason Bateman, and he was talking about Bad Words at South by Southwest, and you know, he was obviously promoting Bad Words, and one of the things he said is that him and Catherine Hahn have been friends for many, many, many years. He didn't even audition her. He just knew from her other material that it would really work. Her character was unbelievably funny. I mean, this was just hilarious.
I mean, she's one of those...
Those don't look at me scenes are just hilarious.
I mean, she's one of those comedians, one of those actors who is so specific. She's not trying to be comic like somebody else. She's comic the way she is. But it's very subtle. And she's like this in every single movie. I mean, she was in a great movie which came out a few months ago, which was completely overlooked. It's called Afternoon Delight.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so good in that movie. And she gets the rare lead role in that movie. And she completely nails it. It's a very weird movie. It's on video on demand. I think it's streaming on Netflix as well. But I've never seen her not do a great job.
Right.
She was in some other movie. I think she was in Vera the
Ben
Millers.
Stiller.
I think she was in Vera the Millers. And she was in...
Yeah, she was in Walter Mitty.
And Walter Mitty as well, yeah.
She was in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I mean, she's been
and
in a ton of
Road
stuff. Yes.
As the neighbor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I liked about the movie is that, you know, sometimes... Well, not often movies are corny because people say exactly the thing you expect them to say at the time you expect them, you know, to say it. And, you know, so it kind of sounds trite and annoying. But I think this movie has a lot of stuff which is pretty corny, but when the characters say it, it completely subverts being corny.
Yes.
Like, you know, you expect Jason Bateman's character to have this big reveal about the pathology behind his character. And you kind of expect that to happen towards the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie actually, it happens at a most unexpected moment, much before the end of the movie. Boom, you're not expecting it. And it kind of caught me off guard, like, oh, I thought this would be revealed at the end of the movie, and you're finding it out kind of in the middle of the movie. So I think...
And it doesn't change your opinion of him.
No, but I think it's clever that whoever wrote the script, how he directed it, he's trying his best to kind of stay away from the beaten track.
And it could have so easily gone wrong. I mean, I think when you make decisions like that to go against expectations, then there's kind of a blueprint for so many movies that we're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And when things break from that tradition, it can go either way. It can be horrible if handled horribly in incapable hands, or it can make you kind of just pay a little bit more attention, because you're right, the movie did catch me off guard in several different places. There are moments when you expect the redemption to come, it doesn't come.
Right.
There are moments when, you know, clearly there's something that you would expect his character to do to kind of, again, redemption, show that he's a nice guy and he's not this complete ass, and you don't get it and you're like, whoa. And so those little things do make you kind of prick your ears up and say, this is, you know, some good work going on here.
Okay, let's sum this one up then. So, Joe, why don't you go first?
Yeah, not a lot to say, really. You know, I didn't love this movie, but I admired it. I think it was very well handled, and I think it shows a lot of promise from Bateman behind the camera. I think it was well written, and, you know, somewhat endearing. I would recommend that most people go see this, because I think they would get more than adequate entertainment value out of it. But, you know, do be prepared for a movie that doesn't have a likable, lovable, fuzzy, warm protagonist, because this guy is an ass. And ordinarily that would annoy me, but he does a good job here. Seven out of ten.
And, you know, it's a movie about kids in a spelling bee, so I think it would be a total mistake for people to take their kids along.
Don't take your kids. It's an R.
Don't take your kids along. It's a proper hard-rated R. I mean, you'd be embarrassed if you took your kid along.
I agree.
For sure.
Yes, Dee.
So I think this is just a good film, and it takes what, like I said earlier, it takes what should have been an unbearably predictable story and makes a subversively enjoyable film. So, well done. I give it an 8 out of 10. And, you know, what film are you directing next, Mr. Bateman? I mean, I cannot wait.
One with Nicole Kidman.
Oh, good.
Oh, he's directing it.
I think so. Terrific. I think if he's not directing, he's definitely in a serious role with Nicole Kidman coming.
Yeah, and like you said, Rashmi, I know that, you know, Bateman got overlooked for his great work in Disconnect in 2013. But yep. No matter, Mr. Bateman should know that there are many who respect his work. I'm one of them.
Score?
8 out of 10.
Oh, very good. No bad words from me on this one. I think if you aren't a Jason Bateman fan, you might find this movie a little mean-spirited and unfunny, but I found it witty and funny and enjoyed it for the most part. Although I think the story is a little simple, but I think it's very well executed. 7 out of 10.
Yeah, the simplicity, I think, comes from knowing what to take on as a first project. It's not overly ambitious. It's got very simple setting stages. The only thing I did want to mention in my review, which I didn't, was I always have a really hard time when strong language is used at kids and by kids. It really is bothersome to me. It makes me...
Yeah, because you found Chloe Moretz in...
Remember Chloe Moretz in Kick-Ass where she uses the C word and it's so out there? And that was a gratuitous example of it, and it wasn't in service of the plot. It was just there for sheer shock value. Here, it's kind of warranted, but I still have a hard time with it.
But I think this kind of stuff is... Maybe I'm naive, but I think this kind of stuff is very heavily regulated. So I doubt maybe they actually didn't speak those words and it was dubbed afterwards by somebody else.
Yeah, I can imagine it was done by several different takes where, you know, you're saying to the kid, you smelly little poop trap, you know, and then they, right. But then
the kid's out of the room, that's when I
think let rip with the F-bombs.
Correct.
But yeah, it's still... I think there's a couple of F-bombs dropped by kids in this one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, F-bombs, I think it's these days anyways. Yeah. And I think there is one scene where there's some nudity involved with the little kid, and I'm sure that they did it with the kid not being present, and they used some kind of CGI or whatever.
So, they just know, it's just clever.
Yeah, that was too much for me.
That's just clever editing.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I knew you would.
It's fun. It's, you know, it's really pushing the line. Anyway.
All right, well, let's move into Divergent, which is our second movie of the week. And Rashmi, are you introing this?
I am introing this one. So this is based on the best-selling book series by Veronica Roth. And Divergent is touted as a thrilling action-adventure film that's set in a world where people get divided into district factions based on their human virtues. So Tris Prior, who's the main character, is warned that she's divergent and will never fit into any one group. How metaphorical is that? When she discovers a conspiracy by a faction leader to destroy all divergents, Tris must learn to trust in the mysterious Four, and together they must find out what makes being divergent so dangerous before it's too late. So this is directed by Neil Berger, and it's written by Vanessa Taylor and Evan Doherty, and it stars Shailene Woodley, Theo James, Kate Winslet, Ansel Elgort, Ray Stevenson, Miles Teller, and Zoe Kravitz, amongst many, many others. So Yazdi, you didn't get to see this one, unfortunately.
I didn't. I was traveling from work.
You were. So, Joe, what did you think of Divergent?
Very, very highly anticipated, supposed to.
Yes.
It was. Yeah.
Take over the
midnight
crowns
showings.
From, yeah, the next
lines
big
of people.
For the young adult audience.
Yep.
This kind of franchise with, you know, strong female lead teenage is certainly the new big thing right now. I mean, that's what everyone seems to be going for. They do well commercially. And Divergent is an interesting story just because it is based on a book. And the book was aimed squarely at the Hunger Games audience. Oh. I mean, the author, basically, it was her first book. And she really targeted, almost with laser-like precision, the Katniss Everdeen fans. And I think the issue with that is, you know, A, it draws the inevitable comparisons, which, and you can't talk about Divergent without bringing up the Hunger Games. And unfortunately, it comes across as a little bit of a poor second cousin. Mm. I think the plot is good, but the direction is just done with a little bit of a limp wrist, and it's not brave in any way. I had read about a third of the book. I bought it on Amazon. It was $5 a few weeks ago. So I started chewing my way through the book, which was a lot more compelling, I think, than the film tended to be. But let's hear what Rashmi thinks, and I'll tell you a little bit more why I think it was such a wet lettuce.
Interesting. So Yes, you kind of hit the nail on the head. As we were sitting waiting for the movie to start, there was this huge air of expectancy from the audience and a ton of excitement. It felt like there was some real excitement and the lights went down and people cheered and, you know, it was one of those movies. And as soon as the film starts, I just felt this incredible tension that didn't let up for about the first 30 minutes of the movie. I mean, there was just this incredible tension throughout the movie, and I thought it was actually quite well directed, Joe. For the remainder of the film, I was riveted. I mean, I was glued to my seat. It really kept my attention. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know about the, you know, I didn't read the book. I didn't try and find out anything more about this movie other than I understood that, you know, there are these four or five camps of people and then there are these divergents. I really enjoyed the movie in the moment. It's not memorable. Like, I'm not waiting for the next installment with bated breath. But in the moment, I had a really good time with this movie. And a lot of that has to do with, I think Shailene Woodley is a brilliant actress.
Yeah, I mean, she makes the movie in many ways, and I think she does a great job with the character here. And I think the main problem that she has is her high school sweetheart looks. I can't get past the Shailene Woodley that we saw in last year's The Spectacular Now, because she's this character has to have a certain amount of inner strength. And to go back to my main comment, which is, I think the movie was directed with, it's just not strongly directed. There was nothing brave about the choices they made here. And I think some of the scenes were very confusing. My main issue is that at the beginning of the movie, there's a ceremony called the choosing, right? And if you are...
Sounds like the reaping from...
No, it wasn't. Harry Potter hat-choosing ceremony.
But it's a choosing, and the idea is that, you know, there are these several different groups of people with these different personality traits, as Rashmi indicated, and you have to choose your sect as a teenager, and then that affects you for the rest of your life. If you choose a different sect, you can't return to your family. You will never see them again. So there's an awful lot of weight that these characters have in this moment. It's a very serious moment. You're choosing the rest of your days. And in the book, it was done with so much heft. I mean, I was really like page turning, thinking, what is she going to do? Because, you know, she has this dilemma about who she is. And I thought that scene in the movie, and maybe Rashmi you felt differently, but I thought that scene was dealt with almost throwaway, and considering the weight of the decision that the character had to make in that moment, which I think Shailene Woodley was trying to depict, the film didn't do her any favors by building that moment.
Yeah, I mean, now you say it, I think it's a good point, Joe, but I felt that tension throughout that first 30 minutes, which is leading up to that choosing ceremony. So for me, that whole first 30 minutes of the movie was very tense. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it kind of felt like that was all part of the decision. It wasn't just the ceremony, the ceremony was more like the climax of that first segment of the movie in a sense. And so that's why I thought that it was really well directed, because I was like, what the hell is going on? And there were a few twists and turns in it.
And
so I was like, wow, oh God, I didn't expect that to happen. So.
And then the other thing that I thought was done badly was there's a test that they have to do to determine what the characteristics are. And I don't know how you understood any of that, because honestly, the only reason I understood it was because I read what had happened in the book. And none of that was explained. It just, she has this sequence of events and then you get the ending result from it, and none of the reasoning behind the decisions that she made in that test, which led to her, like, I'm trying not to spoil this movie, but it's a personality test. Depending on your response to certain stimuli, you are categorized in one way or the other. The stimuli are not explained at all.
No, but I think they were pretty self-evident. So okay. I think that they did for me, it seemed like they did a good job explaining the difference between each of the different traits as the movie starts. So the movie starts with you know, you're born into one of these five. This is what this one does.
But did you understand the choices she made in the moment?
Yeah, because I understood it with reference to what the types of people were. So the fact that she explains what the different factions do to start with. So if you're a this, then this is what your overarching goal is. Then I understood that when she was put in those situations, the way that she acted made her more alliance with one or the other, or certain people would behave in certain ways. And then I think that's amplified later on when she's going through the test. So I think it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, then maybe.
So what's interesting is as we were walking out of the cinema, there were these two ladies who were literally like giving a movie review as they walked out of the cinema, as they're chatting to each other, which is always fun to listen to. And I said to Joe, we should have them on the show. We should like give them a card and say, why don't you come on the show? And I heard one of them, and that's exactly what I was going to say. I heard one of them say, I wish I hadn't read the book because I knew what was coming. Mm. And I think it would have been more enjoyable if I hadn't read the movie and I didn't know what was coming. And that's the experience I had. And for me, I think that's why it was so good. So I wonder, Joe, if in this case, reading the book wasn't
because it sets up your expectations.
Correct.
That may be what I experienced, because I was not looking forward to the franchise based on the trailers, but as I started digging my way into the book, I kind of liked where it was going. I liked some of the ideas, some of the concepts in there were kind of fun, and I was hoping for more of that feeling in the movie, which the movie didn't seem to give me.
I mean, it doesn't give us a ton of story. I think that's my criticism, but I know it's going to be a trilogy, so I'm expecting more story in the other ones. You know, we only cover a small amount of time. I mean, other things to say about this one? Kate Winslet was damn scary.
Go on, please. Is she better than Jodie Foster in that Matt Damon movie?
Oh, yeah.
You know which one?
Yeah, the one in
Elysium.
Space.
Oh, yeah.
Way better. I mean, yes let's
very
not
much
even.
So.
Yeah, but it's the Winslet same type of character.
No. But Winslet rarely ever plays like the baddie. And she's kind of the baddie. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, but I suspect. Yeah.
And the reason it works is because the baddie, by definition, has enormous intelligence. And that's one thing Winslet always brings to her characters. I've never seen her play somebody that's unintelligent, and she brings it in spades with this character.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Very, very good. And then I thought the other thing that I really liked about this movie was the production design. I think it was a great set, and there's this amazing, and of course it's CGI, there's this amazing scene when you come in of a fence that's built around Chicago, like a derelict or, you know, dying, injured, bruised Chicago. Fantastic. That fence looked amazing to me. I mean, there's a lot of imagination that had gone into building this fence that keeps everyone in.
That's what I was going to ask, is how's the visual look of the movie?
I really liked it.
Convincing?
I liked it. And I liked that there's a very interesting decision before I let Joe interrupt. There's a really interesting use of color. So they've used like a color palette of maybe four or five colors, all neutrals, it feels like.
I mean, I think there's nothing especially new or novel about the way that this movie looks. It's a dystopian future that we've seen many, many times before. And I think, again, just going back to the novel, it does a very good job of translating the novel's feel to the screen. So I think the production design is appropriate in that it follows the source material, but I've seen this type of look many, many times before. And I wished, again, that they'd done something a little braver here. It's kind of like The Hunger Games in that, you know, the scenes during the reaping when they're in their original district, it looks like that same kind of washed out world. Everyone's a little tired and
grey.
You know, everything's grey.
Uncolourful.
You know, there's this ominous presence in the world, you know, that's controlling everyone, you know.
Okay.
And one other thing, it's nowhere near as bad as last year's The Host with Saoirse Ronan.
Oh, God, yeah.
But some of the romantic moments got unintentional laughs here. And I think in part it was the teenage girls who couldn't wait for the main male protagonist, Nigel Four, to go shirtless. And when he did, they were like...
Not just the teenage girls, Joe.
Hey, woman. They were all just waiting for it. And when he did, it was like, yay! And so I think, again, not for me, really hard to criticize it for that, but it just felt like they were checking the check boxes for their target market, as opposed to really servicing the story.
But it wasn't as hammy. I agree with you. I kind of groaned when those moments happened, but they happened a little bit more naturally. And I think there was great chemistry between Theo James and Shailene Woodley, which...
But that's what The Hunger Games so deftly avoids, right? They doesn't get into those really hormonal moments. And Katniss in the book... is very way much more a hormonal, teenage girl. Yeah. She's always thinking about, you know, does he like me? Does he not like me? And it's all very girl-like. But the movies step around that. It's still there. You know, she is a young woman. She has those feelings. But the movie doesn't feel the need to kind of twilight those moments, you know? There's none of that kind of teenage swoony stuff. This movie had just the wrong side of that.
For Joe.
For me.
Yeah, I on the other hand think it was well pitched, and Theo James was nothing to not keep your eyes wide open for when he was shirtless.
You know, I got to do this when there's sexy females on the screen. We're reviewing Nymphomaniac soon.
There you go. Okay, let's wind this one up, Joe. Unless Yazdi, you have any questions? Have we enticed you to go and see this one?
Not particularly. I must say,
it's reviewing, but I do quite badly. I mean, it's a 39% right now on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think the main criticism from the reviewers here is that it just adheres to the young adult formula so strongly.
But it's a young adult movie. It's not made for.
No, but
adults.
So is The Hunger Games, and they do that very effectively. And there are other franchises that are also kind of young adult that are done well. You know, we saw like Warm Bodies last year was a young adult movie, but it was done well. It was done with a very well judged.
Yeah. So go, Joe.
Not a lot to say here. I mean, my overall sentiment here is one of disappointment. I think as I became familiar with the source material, I felt kind of excited about what this movie could be. It was pitched a little off for my specific taste, and I think that's really my downside. I think as long as you go in there with the right expectations that this is a movie aimed at the kind of, you know, 15 to 25 female, then you know what to expect, and I think you will walk away with the right kind of feeling about the movie. But for everyone else, it's not really a run out and see. I wouldn't recommend this the same way as I would The Hunger Games. So 6 out of 10.
I mean, overall for me, this is a good movie that I think can hold its head high in my book. And I'm interested by this world enough to think about what will happen next. Like I said, I'm not going to, you know, hold my breath for it. I don't think it's as riveting as The Hunger Games. And, you know, unfortunately... you are going to end up comparing them. And it does feel, I agree with you, Joe, more young adult than grown audience. But I think it's enjoyable and well made. But I actually agree with your score. I'd probably say somewhere between 6 and 7. 6, I think, is a reasonable score.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's better than average. And I enjoyed it in the moment. And like I said, that first 30 minutes was absolutely tension filled for me.
Good. It doesn't have to be seen in the theater, right?
No.
Okay. I think you can see it
on DVD.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got great TVs these days, so.
It's one of those movies that I think will do well in the home market as well. I think I can see its target market, you know, buying the box set and watching it at home. So there's nothing especially big screen about this. It doesn't demand your attention in a way that sometimes a movie theater can do, but you can't get at home. A shade disappointing, but we will get sequels to this because it's done really well in the box office over its spring break release week. So Divergent 2 and 3, I'm sure, will be greenlit soon, if not already. Let us know what you think. Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers, facebook.com/movierollers as well. Until our next podcast, it's a good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.
Sorry, the cat's dropped one. Oi.
That's okay.
Okay. Sorry, Yazdi.
Oh.
I'll close the door.
I'm pretty.
I can't take it. It's
really? Maybe I have a cold.